the 27th Psalm while you're turning off, right? Heavenly Father, we count the privilege of being in your house. Thanks for your goodness. We're overwhelmed at times by your mercy and kindness to us. We know many still have trouble, but it's good to be able to pause and say thank you for what you've done. Now I pray as we look into your word, you quicken our minds together, that we might profit by your word, that we might be better prepared to be instruments that you can use, and better be what we ought to be for you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. One of the themes I go back to a lot of times is the times in which we live. And one of the things that stands out to me through our day and time is we live in a time of religious confusion. Amen. Especially if you hear anything that comes over the airwaves in the news, whether it be entertainment or news or political, we are in a time of religious confusion. But beyond that, even within Christianity, we're in a time of confusion. There's a lot of competing voices within our society and in church as to what it really means to be a Christian. What is required of a Christian life? One of Satan's main works is in religious deception. If you read the message of Revelation, that is the message of the revelation of Satan's work in religious deception. And he's working today. One of his greatest deceptions and distortions today concerns the necessity of holiness in a Christian's life. We're suffering a holiness crisis within the church. Within our society, we definitely got a holiness crisis going on. But within the church, we're suffering a crisis of real holiness. Holiness has fallen into disfavor, not only in society, but in Christendom. Amen? The predominant theme is a sinner saved by grace. And that doesn't mean what we take it to mean. What we know sinner saved by grace means, we were a sinner, and only by the grace and mercy of God, He saved us, that we no longer walk that way and no longer live that way. But too often in Christendom today, it's been taken to say, the only difference in us is grace. That we're the same as what He found us. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen? The emphasis on forgiveness has neglected the changed life that the new birth is to bring. Amen? The gospel has been perverted to condone sin and to allow it. Instead of the gospel taking us higher, it's become an excuse for continuing to live low. Amen? The church's message has changed to forgiveness rather than the transformation of people in our society. Our people in churches, believe me, across our land and country today, our people are not being instructed concerning the necessity of holiness of life. Amen. Most of them ain't living in a way that God can openly bless their lives. The transformation of our lives is the power and the beauty of salvation. Yes. That's the beauty of salvation, the transformation of our life. Our society is degrading. I'll debate anybody on that. Our society is degrading as a whole morally. And part of the problem is we've ceased to be the light and the salt. We're not having a preserving effect from the decay and sin and wickedness that we ought to have. We're not showing the way that people ought to live. Psalms 27:4. I hope I don't take away your thankfulness. Stick around for the afternoon. We're going to go back to that. We'll help you again with that. But this morning, I want to challenge us a little bit. Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The gospel day is to be a time of holiness. Amen? Well, if you read the New Testament, it is. And all the Old Testament prophecies. This is a time when the effects of God's word was to be seen in people's life. We see in prophecy a time of peace and unity that's only brought about by people living the way they ought to. We see a time of the real knowledge of God that resulted in holiness and righteousness. Zechariah 14:20 says, in that day, and that's speaking of the gospel day, shall there be unto the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them seed therein, and all in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. This 14th chapter of Zechariah speaks of the gospel day, the gospel dispensation. And it's a time of hope. If this is the same passage, you're going to find that the evening shall be light, the sun not going down. Now, because the sun is waning in our current Western society, we have a hard time, and most people are ignoring that. But that's not the message that was prophesied. That's not what we preached. Amen? Right. Well, your books in front of you probably say evening light. If you look at them. That's why. Because the evening, that means it was to shine brighter and brighter into the end. The background for this, there's coming a day, in this gospel day, this passage that I read, that everyday items, the bells on the horses' bridles, the cooking utensils, the pans, the bowls, everything would be stamped holiness unto the Lord. Not just in the Lord's house, but everywhere, stamped holiness unto the Lord. Amen? Yes. If you've been in the Sunday school classes, you know that they had holiness unto the Lord on a signet. The priest had holiness unto the Lord. I'll read it real quick in Exodus 28. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of the signets, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it in a blue lace, and it shall be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre shall it shall be. And it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and there shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Well, that's saying Aaron and then the priests that followed actually had a thing they wore when they went in to serve that said holiness unto the Lord. Amen? And I won't read it, but in the New Testament, we've all been made priests, right? We've all had that opportunity. And in the Old Testament, only the priest could enter the Holy of Holies, right? The holiest place. And he had to be cleansed. He had to be prepared to go in there. But the veil's been rent. That happened when Jesus died on Calvary. That veil was rent. And the symbolic of that is that the holiest holies was open to all of us. That we can all enter in now. But I want you to notice this morning, the difference isn't that that sacred place became less holy. It's still the Holy of Holies. There was no change to the holiness of that place. The difference was that in salvation, we all experience the holiness that the priest symbolically had. Amen? And that all of our life, everything we have, everything we do, is stamped holiness unto the Lord. Therefore, we have the right to enter in to the Holy of Holies. Amen? Yes. And it wasn't just ceremonial. It was in everything, the reality of it. Everything we do is to be holy. It's to be for God's glory.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do ought to be able to be stamped and held up before God for His honor and glory. What's holiness? Well, holiness is doing the right thing for the right reason with the right motives and attitudes. What it really means is obeying God's word, because God showed us how to do that. I preached Wednesday. The end of the commandment is pure heart, clean conscience, amen, and unfeigned faith, real faith. That's what the commandments were leading to. That's what they pointed to. And that by obedience to God's commandments, that's the holiness that's created in us. Doing the right thing.
Yes.
Thinking the right thing. Having the right motives. Having the right attitudes. Amen?
Yes.
Too often today, the gospel message is preached in such a way to diminish that which was sacred in the Old Testament. The observing of days, the laws of clean and unclean. Well, the ceremonial law was to teach us. Amen?
Yes.
And they have been fulfilled. They've been replaced by the reality of the experience of salvation to which they pointed. Amen?
Yes.
It's a greater degree than they even had in the Old Testament. Amen? They had it in shadows. And again, 1 Timothy 1:5, they preached Wednesday night. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, good conscience, and faith unfeigned. What all those were pointing to was that we would have an experience that produced a pure heart. Love out of a pure heart. And a good conscience and faith unfeigned. It's not a diminishing of the sacred, but it's elevating the everyday things. Not bringing the sacred down, but it's elevating the common to where all of our life can be stamped with God's approval, holiness unto the Lord. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Another translation renders that, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you as the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, I said all that to say this. The gospel dispensation, the gospel day, is to be a day of holiness. A real holiness of life, a change brought about by the new birth. Amen? Holiness is to encompass our whole life as a Christian. Holiness gets a bad rap today, doesn't it? I mean, even sometimes in our own minds, for all the influences. But it's always depicted as being mean-spirited, sad, a drudgery, dark, hard, right? I mean, that's how it's always, even too often within Christian circles, that's how it's depicted. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Real holiness brings peace. It brings joy. Yes. It brings satisfaction. It brings contentment. Holiness is a beautiful thing. Amen? Amen? Holiness is a beautiful thing. It's treating people the way God intended us to treat people. It's doing good. It's having good attitudes. Pure intentions. We can't even imagine how good life would be if everybody lived a holy life. Amen? We get a taste of it occasionally within the church when people are what they ought to be and living the way they ought to be, when holiness is what it ought to be within the body of Christ. We get a taste of what that would be. Can you imagine what life would be if everybody lived a holy life? Well, it'd be happy. It'd be like heaven, really. Except for our mortal bodies, it would be like heaven. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. Psalms, our text said, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire at His temple. Well, now, God's a spirit. So what does it mean to behold His beauty? What does it mean to behold the beauty of God? Well, because He's a spirit, God's beauty consists in His desirable characteristics. Yes. Amen? God's beauty is that He possesses every desirable quality. Yes. Amen? God is perfectly holy. The perfection means that God doesn't lack any desirable quality. Amen? He has them. He has them all. He has them to their full extent. Amen? What did Moses see when he said, God, I want to see you. You called me. I know your name, but I don't really know you. He said, let me see you. What did God show him? What did God show Moses? Well, first of all, He says, you can't see me. You die. But He said, I'm going to pass by, and you'll see my hinder parts as I pass by. Exodus 34:5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity on the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. Here's God's beauty. Mercy, grace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. It's really mercy balanced by His justice. God extends mercy when those that seek Him seek forgiveness, amen, and turn. But He also administers justice, does what is good and fair. Amen?
Yes.
The beauty of the Lord is seen when we see His character, who He really is, His attributes of love, His goodness, His graciousness. The things that make God who He is. We as God's children reflect God's beauty in our lives when we display His holy characteristics. Amen? Christians reflect God's beauty in the beauty of holiness. Holy character, displayed in holy attitudes and conduct, is to be the Christian's adorning or beauty. And adorn simply means to decorate or make beautiful. People are adorning their houses for the holiday season. That means they're decorating or they're dressing them up. When you're looking for a date, you adorn yourself, right? You put on an attractive appearance as much as possible. 1 Peter 3:3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price.
Yes.
Our attraction is to be the hidden man of the heart, the hidden person. What does that mean? That means our character. Our attractiveness is to be our character. Does that mean you shouldn't take a bath and shower, No, you ought to try and look presentable in public. But our real focus in life ought to be on who we really are. That's where the work ought to go in. So our attractiveness ought to be our spirit and our attitude. Titus gives even to servants that instruction. Titus 2:9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to please them well in all things. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. This is, again, a good attitude, a good character. It's what makes attractive the salvation God's given us.
Amen.
Holy character, holy conduct is what makes the message of Jesus Christ attractive.
Yes.
Amen? That's what makes a message attractive is holy character and holy conduct. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God so loved us that he died to save us. In that salvation was not just the justification, not just the forgiving of sins, but it was the new birth, the transforming of us into a new creature. Amen?
Yes.
Individually and then collectively. Collectively as God's people were to be sanctified or made holy. Amen?
Amen.
Both individually and collectively, we are to reflect God's beauty. And we do this when we display God's character in our attitudes, in our motives, and in our conduct of life. What we do and what we don't do.
Yes.
Holiness is a beautiful thing. I want you to take that away. I want that implanted on your mind. Holiness is attractive. Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is desirable. Holiness is what makes life worthwhile. Amen?
Amen.
It's doing the right thing for the right reasons, having the right attitudes and right motives that are then demonstrated in right and good words and actions. What a beautiful thing that is when people behave themselves the way they ought to, do things they ought to, show love to others the way they ought to. Amen?
Amen.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Holiness is living as love would dictate. Amen? Living as one who loves. God is altogether good. All His commandments are holy, just, and good. Amen? And holiness is obedience to those good, just, loving commandments. You can't separate the two. Amen? Holiness, love, and obedience are all intertwined together. You ain't going to have one without the other. They're intertwined together. Holiness is what makes life good and enjoyable. It's what makes life safe. Amen?
Amen.
It's a prescription for peace. It's a cure for selfishness that destroys and defrauds. Holiness is the foundation for good relationships. Holiness produces the life people long for. Clean conscience. No burden of guilt. Peace. Safety. Security. No fear, no danger, no harm. Right relationships. Holiness is a beautiful thing. I know even in our own minds, because all the clutter that's out there, sometimes when you start talking holiness, people have a certain resistance. But hey, When it's rightly understood, holiness is a beautiful thing. It's Amen. The most desirable thing in the world. It's the most winsome thing in the world. Amen? When we come together, we ought to delight ourselves in God's beauty.
Yes.
You know what that means? Delight ourselves in God's goodness, His kindness, His love, His mercy. Amen? We already said that. That's already been done this morning, right? Where we lift Him up. We give Him praise. We honor Him for who He is and how He's interacted with us. Give Him the honor and praise that He's worthy of. Psalms 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, how do we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? Well, part of our worship is our adoration of Him.
Yes.
Honoring of Him and praising Him. And we do so while reflecting His beauty in our lives. Amen? Imitation is one of the greatest forms of, they say flattery, but it's really, I don't like the word flattery. Imitation is one of the greatest forms of expressing our admiration for somebody that we want to model ourselves after that. Right? And our imitation of Christ is because we see the beauty. We see the perfection that is Christ. And we want to conform our lives to be like Him.
Amen.
Amen? We want His character to be seen in us. We delight in God's beauty when we see it in other Christians, right? When you see the attributes of God's beauty being developed in other your brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's a love and an admiration that wells up in us. Amen? That goes out when we see God's beauty expressed in the salvation of our brothers and sisters. It's what creates the joy and delight in our fellowship with one another. Because when you see those attributes, there's a safety there. There's an acceptance there. There's a love there. Amen?
Yes, amen.
That's what the beauty, worshiping the Lord and the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
Our joy and our delight deepens as we conform our lives to the life of Christ increasingly. The more and more we reflect Christ, the more our fellowship and love deepens for one another. Amen?
Amen.
When the presence of God is felt and the character of God is seen, we delight in that fellowship. Amen? When you're in a place where you sense the presence of God and you see His character being reflected in the lives of those who are there, it's a great place to be. Our text said, one thing have I desired and I'll seek after it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire His temple. You know what he's saying? David delighted in God's presence and just wanted to stay there. Amen. When he was there, that's where he wanted to stay. And that's the beauty of the church when it is what it ought to be.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
It's the beauty of God, God's character, seen in the lives of God's people. Where we praise God for His goodness and who He is, and we see God's character being developed and displayed in our brothers and sisters and challenging ourselves to display it in our own lives. Where love, joy, peace, mercy, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, patience are on display. What a beautiful place to be. Amen? As we see God's character demonstrated in the lives of His people, we delight in the godliness and holiness of God and of His people. We delight in God Himself and we delight in one another. Does that make sense? That's worshiping God in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord and acquire His temple. Delight yourself in contemplating God's beauty. God's beauty is His character. Amen?
Yes.
Delight yourself in being refreshed, as we have this morning, about God's goodness, His love, His mercy, His graciousness, His faithfulness to us. Strive to reflect His beauty in your life. Amen? This is the beauty of holiness that makes the Christian life attractive and appealing to those around us. Amen? Because we treat people right. We do right. We're honest. We're fair. We're just. We're good. Amen. We love people. And we act that way. And it's real. It's not something we're just putting on. It's what's in our heart, letting it flow out. Strive to have the beauty of holiness developed in your own life by obeying that which God has showed us is right. Amen? By His commandments. And then as we come together, I know we have, but continue to strive to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Amen. I feel bad for some people that absence themselves too much from the house of God, because this is strengthening to our Christian life. This is part of the delight of being a Christian, is being able to be with God's people, to be with a people where the glory of God's seen. God's glory also then reflected out of the lives of His children. Amen?
Yes.
Not a happier, safer place to be on the face of the earth. There's not a more strengthening place to be on the face of the earth. Amen? I see the pressure of many, many modern churches and many not so modern churches as well to accommodate themselves to the current age rather than striving for holiness. There's no other path that's going to get us to where we want to be as God's people or as a society than true holiness. No other path takes you to a place of joy, to a place of contentment, to a place of safety, security, and satisfaction. No other path takes you there but the path of holiness. Right?
Amen.
Unless you can trust people to do the right thing, you really can't trust people. Amen? Unless you can trust people to do the right thing, you're not really safe. Unless you can trust people to do the right thing, society doesn't get better. Amen? You can't pass enough laws to make people. You and I think you ought to pass laws to make people do the right thing, but you can't pass enough to really make people do the right thing if it's not in their heart. Society won't be transformed. Wickedness is just held at bay by government and by laws. The transforming of our society will only take place as people transform themselves by the power of God to live a holy life. And let that begin with us. You don't know what effect the radiance of God's goodness through your life to others, what effect it can have. Amen?
Yes.
Don't succumb to the doctrines of the devil today that are prominent throughout many church circles that deny the possibility of real holiness. And I'm not contending that they ain't saved. I'm just saying it is destructive to our society and to the work of God to deny the power of salvation to transform people's lives from selfish to holy, from being all about themselves to truly being people who live to please God with a heart that says, I love God above everything else, and I love my brothers and sisters as myself. And that's the motivation for everything we do. Amen? That's a transformation that is so lacking in so many Christian circles today, and we'll continue to be frustrated. We'll continue to not be a preserving force in society until we regain our hunger for holiness. Not a hunger for a strictness of life in that sense. That's not the end goal. The hunger for holiness is a hunger to conform ourselves in obedience to God's commandments so that the goodness of God, the mercy of God can be developed in us and reflected back out. Amen? Amen. May God help us to correctly see this in the day and time we live. This is the answer for what ails us as a church. It is the answer for what ails us as a society. There is no substitute for it, but the transforming power of God to change people's lives. Let's not let go of that truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. May God bless you. Ask you to stand.